know you're broken hearted, cause the piece you're hoping for is off.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to We Love No Other podcast from IlliniBoard.com. I'm your host, Robert Rosenthal. My guest today is, well, you might have seen on Twitter this afternoon that he announced he is done with football. He technically had one more year of eligibility remaining, but after all the injuries and everything else, Mike Epstein has decided to step away and move on to the next chapter. So I contacted him. We had a nice chat. It's almost 50 minutes long, I think. Really fun to talk to him. There's a long story here, but I'll let the podcast explain that. So without further ado, here's my chat with Mike Epstein. Start with, you know, what led to today, you know, what led to making this decision, and, you know, what's next. You know, just give me the overview of, you know, what's happened since the season and everything else.
Got you. I mean, the decision today, it was obviously announced today, but it's been something, you know, I've known for ever since the season ended. Just obviously the way my career has been, not something I expected it to be and not really what I wanted it to be.
Yeah.
With the injuries, I feel like everything other than that was, you know, kind of how I wanted it to go. But I was tough. You know, my body went through a lot. Mentally, you know, coming back from stuff is not easy. So I think I reached my point where I think God has given me a sign that maybe something else is out there better for me.
Yeah.
And hopefully I won't have to take a beating on my body anymore. And my body feels good right now. So,
yeah.
Not exactly sure what's next. I know Coach Smith just got hired today in Houston. And,
yeah. You know,
all about, for me, it's all about who the people I know and who I've created good relationships with. So
yeah,
hopefully that'll lead me somewhere really, really awesome.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go through. I mean, here's the thing that strikes me about you is that, you know, you committed to Tim Beckman. So you have, I don't know if anyone has ever spanned as much football as you did. So that was what, summer? It was like August of 14?
It was my birthday, actually, August 6th of, I think it might have been 15.
Was it? Okay, yes. Yes, it was 15 just before he was fired in, like, yeah, late August 15, like 2 weeks after you committed.
Exactly, yeah. That's a wild ride.
Okay, so let's start there. Well, let me just go through it. So you commit to Beckman. He's fired 2 weeks later. Cubitt's hired you. I believe at the time put something on Twitter that you were sticking with your Illinois commitment. That's the season where you had your high school ACL, right?
Yes.
So exactly. you missed the 15 season. Then
I think I missed the 16 season, do you consider my last year, senior year?
Good point. Yes. Since it's high school, it's like fall of 15.
Yeah,
yes. You're right. Good point. You were class of 17, but right. Technically football was that fall, even though, yes, everybody uses the second number like basketball. It's like, yeah, this is the 21-22 season, but everybody says 22. So fall of 15, you miss your high school. Or sorry, yes, fall of 15, you miss your high school junior year. In March, Cubitt's fired, Lovey's hired. You tweet at some point that you were recommitting to your third Illinois coach, basically in 8 months. Then you stick with. You have a big senior season fall of 16. And I remember talking to you like right after signing day that like you had people like that January was crazy for you, right? Like,
really was.
I remember that was Utah was coming on strong. I remember UCLA was trying to get you to visit.
Yeah.
So you said your phone was crazy and suddenly, you know, what paper named you South Florida Player of the Year?
Sun Sentinel.
So you've blown up beyond just some kid who committed after his sophomore year when he had an ACL injury. Now you've had this season at St. Thomas Aquinas and everything else. And so what was it at that time when everything blew up that had you stick with Illinois?
Yeah, like you said, January, like right before signing day of senior year, was the most hectic time of the recruiting process. Like for me, I had a very late process because of my injury in my big senior year. So, I mean, I had like a lot of temptation to stay home in Miami that I just kind of felt disrespected by the time that they came on to me.
Yeah.
So I really saw something like something really like stuck out to me about Illinois, who was really the first Power Five school to jump on me and take a chance. You know, knowing that, yeah, he's hurt, but you know, they saw something in me and really believed that I could fit in there. So that really stood out to me as well. Probably most importantly was the relationships I've built, you know, with the coaches there for my entire time. Yeah, there's a lot of turmoil, a lot of turnover. But when Coach Lovey Smith called me, because I think we had two commits at that time when he got hired in that 17 class. It was me and some other kid. I think he was from Illinois. I'm not exactly sure, but I remember Coach Smith said that, like, you know, he wasn't sure how the other commit was going to be, but he wanted me to be, like, the first commit and, like, really stick with us. And, yeah. I mean, I had a really good phone call with him. And that was the first time I ever spoke to him. It was over the phone. And, I mean, he knew everything about me. So he did his research from before that call. And he just really made my family feel special. And the relationships I had with all the coaches were super strong and not something like that could be defeated within, like, 2 weeks before signing day with other schools, even though I was very tempted. From hometown to, you know, some really prestigious programs, and that had some really winning games at that time. So that's really what stood out to me, as well as I wanted to go in and play, pretty soon. So those were the things that really did it for me.
Yeah, yeah. And so then you did. I mean, I remember, it was even probably on signing day when Coach Smith was saying, like, you know, this is a guy who can play right away for us, and we need running back help and everything else. And then you do. I mean, gosh, what? When was South Florida? Your third game?
Third game, yeah.
Yeah, third game, you have the big game. And, how many games did you play that season?
Remember that Ball State game?
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. God, what am I thinking? That was the opener, right?
Yeah, the season opener.
And so what did you? Oh, hold on. I pulled this up earlier. I'm going to go to that page. Let's see. Ball State 2017. 11 for 50 yard, two touchdowns, or 11 for 54, two touchdowns, plus two receptions for 32 yards, plus a kick return. How do I not remember a kick return? Yeah. Was that your only kick return?
My one and only kick return in college football history.
How do I not remember that? So,
and another thing, my first ever carry was -5 yard carry. It was a toss, and I got 5 yards in the back first play. I was like, "Welcome to college football."
Yes,
and that was Ball State. Yeah,
yeah. Let's see. So that Ball State game was Mikey's first game back after all of his stuff, and he had the long punt return.
He had a touchdown. I think he had the first touchdown.
Yeah, was that your touchdown where you kind of fell in backwards? Or you? There was a touchdown in that season where you got kind of stood up at the two and you spun and ran the guy in backwards. I can't remember.
I don't remember that game.
I just have these random memories in my head.
Yeah, it's impressive, though, man. That's impressive.
Yeah. So then, yeah, Western Kentucky, you have a big game. You get over 100. Suddenly, who's this freshman, you know, putting up 100 yards? I remember that game was the – that game was the, wow, this 2017. Like, Nate Hobbs had – what, he showed up at camp at Mono or whatever, so he, like, missed 3 weeks. So I remember Western Kentucky was the first time we noticed Nate Hobbs. Bobby had some sacks. I think Isaiah Gay had a couple sacks. You put up 100 yards, so it's this, like, oh, wait a second. This class is, you know, there's a reason they're starting all these freshmen. So what was it like? Let's just go through that. Like, what was it like for you guys at the time with, you know, everybody playing? You'd, I think by that point, like, 16 freshmen were playing in the lineup.
Yeah. And I think the only one that really didn't was Kendrick Green.
Yeah, really. How crazy is that?
Yeah, nuts. But how was it? It was, honestly, for me, it just happened so quick. I didn't even know if I had enough time to think about what was going on. I was just kind of in the moment. I kind of appreciated, like, I feel like the best way to adapt is just kind of be thrown in the fire. And I feel like that really helped me a lot, you know, throughout my career. I feel like that was probably the most uncomfortable time. You know, I was just, like I said, I was playing high school football like 2 months before that, and suddenly playing like Big Ten football was real, but it was fun. And I just honestly, like, over time, I just got really comfortable in it. And I think that helped me a lot in the, like, throughout my career.
So then the foot was when? After the Nebraska game that year, after the fourth game, when the foot injury showed up, or what was
foot, weird? I mean, it was really complicated because we got a lot of. I had some pain during the like the most pain I had is I felt it a little bit like during week two, week three, and then after that USF game, like I couldn't walk on the plane home, so I was like, I gotta get this checked out. And we got it checked out in like a few scans and MRI and kind of we did everything and we really couldn't find anything. And I'm sitting here like, this is weird. I'm in a lot of pain right now. Like, I feel like this needs to be, like, this has to be.
Yeah.
And really couldn't find anything out. And then I think like Friday before, like literally we were having the walkthrough before the Nebraska game. And I think they found it. And like they found out what was going on with my foot on a special, like they had only one view of a CT scan to really show it. So I had like a fracture in one of my bones, like a stress fracture. And at that point, it was kind of like, you can play, if you can keep playing through the pain, like you're not really doing yourself a harm. Like it shouldn't get worse. But like if you can't, it gets to the point where you can't control symptoms, like we're gonna have to shut you down. So I was just trying to play through it. I was limited like throughout the week and practice and stuff, so I could try to be like my best at the game time. And I made it a couple weeks in, and then Iowa was what did it for me my freshman year. I couldn't go no more. That was my life. I think that was like the fifth game of the year.
Yeah, and didn't you have a huge run in that Iowa game?
Yeah, I had like a 60-yarder.
Yeah. So it was that, and then was it in that game that you were like, I can't go, like, or was it after the game?
Two plays after that game, I jumped over, like, someone on the floor. Someone was, like, got smashed, and I jumped over him, landed on my foot, and I was like, oh, I had the sharpest pain in my foot I've ever had. So I couldn't really walk. So I had to come out.
Wow. So then that was just the shutdown, right? So you didn't play the rest of that season. You rehabbed the foot. Was Justin Hardy still there in 2017, or was he gone by the time you got there?
He was gone, right? I think that his last year was right before that.
But he had the exact same foot thing, right?
He had something similar. I talked to him. Yeah, something similar, but not the exact same.
Yeah, I just remember he had that. Like, he had the same kind of thing. Like, can he go? No, he can't. Okay, shut it down. Okay, try it again. Nope, shut it down, you know. And now he's played, what, 5 years in the NFL, health-free, you know, like, you know, sometimes I guess it's maybe even just an 18-year-old is, you know, your bones haven't finalized kind of thing. I'm guessing that's probably part of it. So then 2018, you're coming back in. When was the bus? When were you on the side of the BTN bus? Was that 18 or 19?
Going into my sophomore year.
Okay. Okay, I remember that at camp of you signing the bus.
Yeah.
And then, again, you have all these big games. And was it the same balance with the foot thing at the time, or what was going on with that 2018 season?
Yeah, so after that, after I got shut down against Iowa, I went to see, like, a few specialists. And then I went to see this doctor in Charlotte. He's, like, the Panthers doctor, and now he's Green Bay's doctor. He's a man, great, great person, great doctor. And he just it was something like no sugarcoating. He's really only seen maybe like 5 to 10 times in his entire career, and not an elite athlete. Mm. Like just, so it was really a unique situation on how to go about it. We had two options. One was the more conservative route, which was the be non-weight bearing for 3 months, like completely non-weight bearing, and see, you know, how much that feels. Take like. Had a bone stem, had, you know, vitamins to take, just try to do everything I can to heal the best way I could. And then the other option was to go in there with surgery and put two screws in that bone and, you know, be off for like probably another two months, non-weight bearing, and then, you know, see what would be best. So he thought originally, since I never gave it a chance to really be off it for 3 months, that would benefit me. And it's like the most conservative route, so less risk. So we went that route going into my sophomore year, did everything right, did everything I could. And then we go into the season, and I think that was, I was doing very well in the beginning, and then it flamed up on me again, and I think it was the Wisconsin game in the snow. It was a weird, really weird game. Mm-hmm. It was like all the seasons in one game. And I remember it was Andrew, I think Andrew Van Ginkle. He actually plays on the Dolphins now. He landed on me. And that was it. That was, I couldn't go anymore after that. And I just had the same exact pain and had to go back to the drawing board.
Back to it, shut it down, everything.
But instead of the shutdown route, we went to the surgical route after that season.
Mm-hmm. Got it. So, I mean, does Reggie ever thank you for getting injured and him getting hit? You know, because that was a pretty good running team. But yeah, you were the guy. I mean, I remember, like, didn't you? I have it here. Hold on. I'll scroll to that page. Yeah, you had back-to-back 100-yard rushing games. Western Illinois, you had 105. South Florida up at Soldier Field, you had 113. You had that big early touchdown. That was the first score of the game, right? Yeah, it was like a three-play drive.
Yep.
So, and then Reggie ends up getting 1,000 yards that year after you know, starting after like the Penn State game or whatever when you started to first experience it. So, did he ever thank you for going down so he could get that 1,000?
Never thanked him. I'm still waiting on the thank you, but okay. That was great. I really think we had a great combo that year with the two of us.
Really and, good.
Yeah, he was great, man. I was really, really happy to see him have the success he had. And he really took advantage of that.
Yeah, and that, I mean, that Penn State game was, like, I remember that. That was like a Friday night game, right?
Yeah, it was Friday.
Yeah. I remember that Penn State game as being like, okay, we have a 1-2 punch here. Like, yeah. I think, let's see, you had 73. Reggie, yeah. I think, got over 100 in that game.
Yeah.
I think, if I'm remembering correctly. Anyway, like, I, you know, and that was setting up to be, wow, the offensive line has clicked. This is really working. And then I'm sure it had to be so frustrating for, did it just land on your foot? Is that how it happened? Or what was the specific thing in Wisconsin?
Yeah, Wisconsin, it was just, I kind of got, like, he tackled me from, like, behind, and he kind of landed on it, rolled up on me at the same time. So my foot kind of like went down. And after that, I was just back to it.
Yeah. So then same rehab, same thing. Well, surgery this time.
Surgery, yeah.
You get back. I remember you were really limited in camp in 19. And in spring, it was stay completely off of it. Like, you were just, we'll play him when it gets there.
I did not play one spring ball in my entire five-year career there.
Wow. That's a stat.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever realized that.
Not one time.
Wow. Okay, so we get to 2019. You're healthy to start. You start out this Akron game. I think you were the leading rusher in that game. Yeah, even before the...
And I remember early. I was the leading rusher. Funny you say that. I actually do remember that now.
Yeah, so you're probably like the leading rusher in like three season openers in a row or something like that. and then, you know, again, same thing as Mikey. You know, your body says no, which we'll get to in a bit. It just has to be so frustrating. That one I remember. I remember the image of you going off in the cart, towel over your head. I mean, I'm guessing you know, having had the ACL as a junior in high school, I'm guessing you knew at the time what it was.
Definitely, yeah, I knew right away.
Like, you felt a pop kind of thing?
Yeah, you feel it pop, and it's weird, man. It's more weird than it is painful in my experience of it. But, yeah, it's something I knew right away after my first one. And I just remember I was in the tent, and I was just crying. And I was just like, why?
Yeah.
But that's all I could really think. But, yeah, I remember I still have that picture of me on the cart with the towel over my head. Just to look back on when things, I feel like things aren't going well, I could always look back on that. And that was a real like low point for me. So
I remember even writing at the time, like nobody, like I hope this doesn't go this way because it'll be like Mikey where nobody knows how good he could have been kind of thing. You know, like, you know, Mike had 1,000 yards as a freshman and wide receiver. You know, you have these games. Gosh, I mean, your first two seasons, you had at least 400-yard rushing games, but then shut down with injuries. So it's the whole, like, nobody's ever going to know kind of thing.
I know.
But people knew. I mean, you were on the side of the bus. So, you know, BTN picked you as the guy for the 2018 team, but then your body. So what, during that 2019 after that injury. You know, so it's three straight years. You rehab, you get rare, you're there, and then an injury. What was your thinking that? I mean, how hard was that? Were you thinking, you know, did the hang it up enter your brain at that point? You know, what were you thinking?
At that point, no, I really didn't. I mean, I had a like aim in my mind for a second, and I was just like, I really thought like, is God trying to, you know, tell me something else? You know, for a split mm-hmm. second, bad for myself. But then right after that, I had a day to really be a baby about it. And I just, after that, I was like, let's get this done. And I feel like this will be super special of a story. And I mean, with the punches I was taking, I just want to keep taking them and just get through it. Cause I feel like storms can't last that long. And, you know, I've done it before. And what also helped me get off that was I had my best season coming off ACL surgery in high school.
Yeah,
so I felt like I was like, let's do it again. But it's a lot of work, but I want to do it again. And I think that the next year was the COVID year, and I think I might have had one of my better. I played in every game except one that year, so that was definitely my longevity was the most impressive part that year. And I think I had a pretty solid season numbers-wise, too. I think I had, like, you might have been better than me, but...
I do. We'll go through it. But, yes, you did. You absolutely did. In fact, I think you were in, like, the top 15 of rushing yards in the Big Ten because everybody was limited to 7 or 8 games. So I want to ask about 2019. Like, did you have conversations with Dre Brown about it? With, you know, he had both ACLs, basically. I remember having a conversation with him where he said, you know... In my mind, it was almost like, look, both of my ACLs were going to fail, so I'm almost glad it happened freshman and sophomore year. Knock it out of the way. Now my ACLs are good for my career. And, you know, by 2019, he had that great season. He's offensive MVP, everything else. Did you have any conversation with him about when you had your second ACL of like, hey, you know, that type of thing?
Definitely, yeah. Dre was – he's a great person, man, like to this day. He'll still reach out every now and then and check up, and he's doing super well. I'm very, very happy for him. But yeah, we would have conversations a lot just being in the same, position room. And I really connected well with Dre. I really enjoyed his presence, and I know everything he went through, and I really saw how good he was. And I was like, I imagine if he never had to, you know, go through these knee surgeries and stuff, I can only imagine how good he would have been. But his story, I mean, I feel like our stories were similar, but different. You know, we've been through a lot in the injury wise game. And you know, he's bounced back, and like you said, his best season was just remarkable. I mean, I remember, I think, like, the biggest thing that stands out for me with Dre is that run against Wisconsin, like, to put us in that field goal range.
Yep.
Beat them, just how tough he was, that, you know, to tackle. Just ran. Every time he got the ball, he just ran his freaking guts.
Yep.
He was just a bowling ball, man, and, yeah, so... We had a lot of conversations. He would try to give me some tips about what would help him feel better coming off surgery. So, yeah, we had a lot of conversations about that and really appreciative.
Were you at the Wisconsin game? Were you done with your surgery and rehabbing at that point?
I was there, yeah, going crazy. Great time.
On the sidelines, did you go down to a knee? Oh, wait, you probably had a big old brace on. Could you go down to a knee with everybody else?
Oh, yeah, I was on a knee. I did not have a brace on at that point. I was like 4 weeks out or 3 weeks out.
Yeah,
I was walking gingerly, but I did go down and take a knee. I'll never forget that time.
Did you give Mikey a hard time for running out on the field as a fan and nearly he gets about to the 10 and realizes he might get a penalty and, you know.
He was about to poop himself. We had a – and he thought he was really going to get a flag. And we crack up about that to this day. But after the game, we were all out and just – cracking up about that.
Yep. So, okay, so let's go to the COVID year. I mean, in a sense, when that season got canceled,
you had
to be like, are you, like, okay, I've beaten the foot thing. The foot feels good. I've rehabbed both ACLs. I'm ready to go, and you're canceling the season. Like, you had to be staring at the sky, right?
Oh, yeah. I was like, wow. But at the same time, I was like, A couple more months, that's only going to help my body. So I took it. I saw the bright side of things. And, yeah, I ran with it. It was I did not want that to happen at all. I was very bummed out when I heard it was getting postponed or canceled originally. But when I heard it was coming back, I was happy. I was very happy. And I saw the bright side of it and got to take care of my body a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And lead into the season. But that season did not start off very well for me.
What? The Wisconsin. Oh, God. You want to talk about the fumble then? All right. Well, let's talk about the fumble. So you're back. And was that the first carry? No, second carry.
That was the first carry.
First play.
Second play of the game.
Second play of the game.
Mm-hmm. First play, we throw it to Bebe. Mm-hmm. First down, I think. And then second play, boom.
I'm glad you brought it up, not me.
I couldn't even tell you this day what happened. All I just know is I was like on the ground and had the ball in my hand.
Yeah. Had you fumbled before then?
I have not lost a fumble before then.
Yeah, I didn't think so. So here we are. We finally start the season October 23rd. You get your first carry and Al pops the ball. But still that season you had, let's see, you had 100 yard. Well, hold on. Let me scroll to 2020. Yes, Minnesota, you had 100 yards. The Nebraska game, you had 100 yards. You had 63 in the Purdue game. You had a tackle in the Purdue game. What was this, after a pick?
Easiest tackle of my life. Dude ran out of bounds. I was right there. Gave me the tackle, man.
Hey, it's in the stat sheet, right? Okay, so, so you ended up having 367, 5.3 a carry, four touchdowns, two catches for 29 yards, and a tackle. But after that season, you had to have some kind of procedure or something, right? Or was this
No,
you were good. You were good after. Okay, so then coming into 2021, I just remember like the quotes when Bielma said, "We're not sure if he's going to be with us or not," or something. Talk to your dad, or something, you know.
Yeah.
So what was your decision? I mean, then you're basically have your degree, right? After this,
yeah. So I had my degree, and then I was working. I was getting enrolled in the master's program, mm-hmm. online, do it online, just because of the whole situation I was going down. I was kind of thinking about what I wanted to do, and I didn't want to have to be back and forth at school in the weather when I could be here to try to really think about the decision I was going to make. So when it comes to the decision, I was just – it was a lot. A couple of things was my body. That was probably the biggest thing, just – like what I was going to, how I was feeling. Cause I missed one game that season, against Iowa. And then the next week was the Northwestern game. And then we had the Penn State game, but the last few weeks I wasn't really myself. I was, going through pain again in my foot. So I was kind of figuring out what I needed to do for that from that end. I did not get any procedure though. I kind of just rested it, stayed off it for a little while. Tried to take care of my body good. And then another option in my head was I going to keep going? You know, like I said, been through a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
There was a risk in my foot. Like my foot kind of got a little worse, the fracture. Like there was a chance that if it continued to get worse, I'd have to get like a really big operation, which I didn't want to go down that route. I want to live a normal life after football, as normal as it could be. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of like, you know, threw a little wrench in my plan. So I really thought about it, and I was like, I heard great things from Coach B. Like the players I talked to and all my friends were just telling me like improvements that have been made with the strength staff, with Coach Tim, and Coach B, and the way like the vibe and the culture that was set in the locker room. So I was really intrigued, and I wanted to go back one last time. I know I technically still have another year of eligibility, which is crazy, but I just kind of wanted it to be my last time, and I decided to go back and give it a run. I mean, I'm really glad that it obviously didn't turn out the way I wanted it to turn out. But I do feel like my last game, like the Nebraska game, and when I think about that, I just got great vibes from that.
Last time I saw you, I asked you about that. Of, you know, that had to be such a special moment. So that's, you know, national TV. It's week zero. It's on Fox Sports. You know, there's more eyes on Illinois football. I even remember seeing a few, like, national college football reporters who probably don't pay very close attention to Illinois football that were like, wait, that 40-yard run, that was Mike Epps? He's still at Illinois? Like, wait, hold on. Wasn't he there in 2017?
Yeah, people give me a hard time for being there forever. It's only my fifth year.
That's a good point. Yeah, a lot of people have, you know, just are there for 5 years.
I think it's because, like, my freshman year, I was actually, like, getting some recognition. So, like, if you think that's a long time. So I get that. But, yeah, I always crack up when people, like, bring it up to me. I did see a couple of things. It was funny.
Yeah. But that 40-yard run or whatever in the, what was it, first quarter against Nebraska? I mean, that had to feel like that's the moment I've thought of today. That's the moment I thought of when I saw you last. Of like, it just has to be this moment of rehab. Is the foot okay? Is the knee okay? COVID canceled the season. What's happening? You know, all this stuff. To have this senior year where first game, you know, you get out there and you bust this big run and you, let's see here, had 75 yards on 16 carries, and a touchdown. You also had a reception, beat Nebraska. You know, all the good feelings of that day. I mean, it had to be like, that's the thing I think about is like a lot, you know, the hard work isn't paying off like you thought it would, you know, in your mind, when you're doing the rehab, you're thinking future NFL career and everything else, same as Mikey, that just didn't pan out. Your body wouldn't let you. But to have a little moment like that, I said the same thing to Mikey of having the moment in that, you know, what he comes back in the 2018 season for one game, you know, that kind of thing. You know, at least to have that moment, to have that catch. I mean, even the catch where he got injured, which was, you know, it's just, it's nice to have those moments. So, you know, how do you reflect on this last season where you, that's really all you got?
Oh yeah. I mean, like I said, not the way I wanted it to go, but when I think back, Nebraska game and just, camp, you know, and it was just, memories I'll never forget. I mean, I really think, like I said, my last memory is really that Nebraska game, that win, that week zero, having my family up there. And, it just kind of felt like old times again, kind of like freshman year again. So it was really, really – that made it all worth it, even though the rest of the season was a struggle for me mentally and physically. But, you know, just to have that one game to look back on and – kind of have like my finale in that moment was just, it was special, especially just with the win and week zero win, really a Big Ten opponent, which we never really had in our first game of the year. We usually start off with our non-conference game. So it was really, really special. And I'll never forget that.
Yeah. It's so interesting that you have contributions across all of these seasons, you know, that you had the one season, the COVID season, which you finished, the rest you weren't able to finish. But you have contributions from Lovey's first year all the way through Bielma's first year. You know, you have, you know, I think people would be surprised maybe even listening to this, like, wait, he had 200-yard rushing games in 2020, and then he had a 75-yard rushing game this season, and he had 2 in 18 and 1 in 17. He was a leading rusher in the opener in 2019. You know, people just don't remember probably – you know, how many stops and starts you had. So then I guess the rest of the season, was it, I guess I don't even know. Was it the foot again that shut you down or?
It was my knee actually.
Oh, okay.
Bruise in my knee against UTSA.
Yeah.
And then that was it. Yeah, that was.
Yeah. What was the, okay, so let's go through it. Would you remember what the last play was? Like your last play on the field.
My last play was I think it was outside zone, I want to say, to the left sideline, and I was right near the sideline, and I tried to come back in, and as I tried to come back in, dude tackled me, but my knee just didn't feel right, so I had to take myself out. Thing is, like, no one really notices when I go out because I try not to, like, stay on the floor when I'm hurt.
Yes, yes.
So every single time in my career, actually, that I've been hurt, oh no, and I've never been on the floor when I got hurt.
That is a great point. That is a great, because the ACL was you were getting tackled out of bounds. So you were like on the sideline, no one really even knew.
Exactly, yeah. I took myself out and Yeah, I always try to do that. I don't know. I feel weird just staying down there. I don't like that attention. I kind of like to get out. And so yeah, a lot of people don't even know, didn't even know, but yeah, that was when it happened.
Yeah. Okay, so now let's look to the future. So what's next for you? I mean, we kind of touched on it, but I guess you have undergrad and grad degree now. Are you done with
school? Oh, actually, I have my undergrad, and I'm currently involved in my grad program, which it ends in the fall, but it's online. So
got it.
I'll finish that up wherever I'm at. So that's convenient for me. As far as what comes next for me, I'm entirely not sure. Mm-hmm. I'm going to meet with some people that I, you know, like I said, have good relationships with, and I'm confident in what they do and, you know, how maybe we can help each other out in that aspect. But I kind of want to let it come to me. I want to do something I really, really enjoy, have a passion for. And I feel like that'll make me better at my job.
Yeah.
I truly, really enjoy going to places and experiencing that. You get the vibe where people really love their job, and you just feel like the experience is that much better. But I hate when I go to a job and I feel like I'm begging them to, like, they're kind of doing me a favor. I'm like, this is your job. I like appreciate that. So that's kind of what sticks out to me. I really want to do what I enjoy and something I'm passionate about. I don't know if it's going to be the football, like the athletics route is definitely a big opportunity for me. I know a lot of people in that route, obviously played. I know the game well. I'd even go like the business route, maybe getting with the right people. And even like a modeling, I don't know. A lot of people tell me I should give that a chance, like modeling, acting. So I'm all over the place with it. I'm really, really open. I just feel like God will lead me the right way, and it's all going to work out, because I know He's got something better for me.
I feel like there was some time when I was interviewing you at camp. This has maybe been 2018. I don't remember. I just feel like there was some time when one of your teammates walked by and gave you a hard time. Like, look at that face. Shouldn't he be modeling? Let's put him on a cover of a magazine. Have your teammates always given you a hard time about that?
They definitely do. My body, like, if I ever post a picture with my body out, they'll definitely give me a hard time about it. But it's all fun. It's all good.
Mm-hmm.
But
okay, we also have to talk about your diet, because Mikey – like says you're the freakiest eater he's ever seen, that you put nothing in your body that you're not aware of. I think we talked about this a little when you joined that Spaces after the Nebraska game, but for podcast listeners, you tell them why Mikey tells me that he's never seen anyone watch their diet and exercise and sleep and weigh out their food and drink a certain amount of water more than you.
Well, Mikey is a terrible source, I'll be honest, because he eats terribly. He that's like, you know, anything is good compared to what he eats. So he put like exaggeration level. But yeah, I mean, I was roommates with Mikey and Nikki Allegretti. And obviously, like I said, Nikki, I think we know Nikki loves to eat, you know what I mean? The best way, most respectful way possible. He loves food.
Yes.
And gave me some great advice for foods in Russia and Champaign area. So I'm always appreciative of that. But and Mikey would love pizza. So, like, they would be eating pizza consistently. They'd be eating, like, burgers, fries. And that just, for me, like, that just wasn't my thing, because I had a hard enough time staying healthy as it is. I got to, like, give myself the best chance. You know what I mean? So I really took pride in that, and, like, vitamins and sleeping and drinking a lot of water and eating the best nutritious meals. So they give me a really hard time about that. But yeah, like I said, Mikey is a terrible source. He would eat pizza almost every single day. And the fact that Mikey, I don't know if you guys remember Mikey, like, I haven't seen him in a while, but during when he was playing ball, he was the most shredded person, I think, on the team. Yes. Like, lowest fat. And I promise you, he would eat pizza and wake up the next day, and we'd be working out with Bose, and he'd run a 4.3. Like, it's genetics, and God blessed him that way. So when he says that, we need to take a step back. But yeah, I do eat very clean. I also feel better when I'm very clean. So I enjoy to do that. And yeah, That's that on the comp.
So set the scene for me. So they order pizza. Nikki's eating 12 slices of pizza. Mikey's eating his fair share of pizza. And you're what? You're sitting there making chicken, rice, and broccoli?
I'd make something, but honestly, during the season, I'd be lazy. After I got home, I would probably go to my favorite spots in the Champaign are Cactus Grill, Chipotle, and the Caribbean Grill.
Mm-hmm.
Those are my three go-tos.
Okay, so give me your Chipotle order.
Chipotle is brown rice. Sometimes I get a little bit of black beans. Then I'll get fajita veggies. Then I'll get chicken and steak double. And then I'll get corn, tomato salsa, and guac. And then a tortilla on the side. That's my Chipotle order right there.
No sour cream, no queso.
No, none of that, actually. Cut that out.
You just get on the side, give it to Nikki to put on his pizza?
Nikki's getting sour cream mixed with the hot sauce on the side. He has this whole special thing at Chipotle. I'm like, what? Never.
Love it. Love it. Okay, so when you look back on your time in Champaign, everything else, like what sticks out? Like what's the thing you think you'll carry with you, from this phase of your life?
I'll definitely carry with me for the rest of my life. I threw it in my note today. It was just the relationships I've built and the people I've met. Some of the most incredible people. I mean, football has taken me like a crazy route. I mean, I have I've never been to Illinois since before I committed there. Seeing cornfields, like if you come down here, I think it would put in perspective that like I was just a culture shock to me. Like my point is, I say that to say that football has brought me crazy places. You know what I mean? Like from being a South Florida kid to playing in the Big Ten and Champaign in the freezing cold. Like I've met great, like the best people that I know it'll continue on for the rest of our lives. I got some of my best friends I met there. My roommates were Mikey, Jake, Nikki. That will always be tight. And the memories, I mean, like I'll never forget some things like the Wisconsin game when we won. And just being like the camaraderie in the locker room, like so many of those things I'll never forget. That'll probably stick with me the most. And then just the lessons I learned from football, in college, and just the tough things I had to go through and how much better you come out of it. And I just think it's all for a purpose. And I think that's what really stands out to me most.
So let's end by going through that moment at the end of the Northwestern game this year. So Jake had to shut his season down because of injury. You know, he had, let's see, what year, his ACL was 2017? No, 18. No, 17.
Yeah. 2017, it was my freshman year of camp.
Got it. So you weren't rehabbing at the same time as him, right?
No, I was not.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we went to the same doctor, which was cool. We did over that a little bit.
Yeah. So just tell me how this moment came about of you guys going in on the final snap. And then I also want to know, you know, as Northwestern was driving and there was like a minute left, were you thinking, hey, maybe there's not going to be an opportunity for a kneel down here. Maybe their last drive is going to run out the clock, yeah, and we're not going to be able to kneel on it. So, you know, take me through that day.
Funny story. Good thing you brought that up. I actually think it was Jake's idea coming in. So I remember coming into the locker room and like we had our jerseys and stuff there, and they were asking me if I wanted to dress out for the senior picture. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I think I'll look better in the picture. I'll look back on it, and I'm not going to be dressed up in a sweatsuit, you know? So I was like, yeah, I'll dress up for the picture. And then Jake comes running over to me, not actually, but he's walking over to me, and he's like, dude, we're going to kill him, and we're going to go in for a big three formation. And I'm laughing. I'm like, that's funny. Like, yeah, it's actually pretty funny, yeah, thinking about it. And he's like, bro, I'm not kidding. I'm like, dude, you're going to stay dressed the entire game. It was pretty cold out. And he's like, yeah, bro, I'm doing it, bro. We got to do it. And so I thought he was kind of joking for a second. And then I really thought about it. I was like, shoot, like that could actually happen. That'd be pretty funny. So we go take senior picture, and I come back in and I change because I wasn't trying to wait in the cold weather like that. I'm telling you, I'm a Florida boy. I don't enjoy the cold. I had a coat on. I'm not playing for the weather. So I come in the locker room, I change, and then I go back out. And then halftime comes up. I think we're up pretty big. And Coach B's like, you guys want to do it? He comes up to me and Jake, and we're like, yeah, let's do it. So I'm getting ready again. I took my pads off, and like I said, for the rest of the game. So I come back in at halftime. I put my pads back on, and then we get out there, and it's cold. So I'm like, shoot. But anyway, my biggest nightmare is if we go out there and I'm freezing and we can't even go in for a kneel down, right? So like you said, there's a minute left. Me and Jake are like, what the? So we're going up to Coach B. I remember it was like 30 to 45 seconds left, and they're running down. They got the ball at the 1 yard line. I'm like, man, let them score.
Let them score.
And then me and Jake go up to Coach B. We're like, call time out. And he's cracking up. And I actually think he might have did it, but they scored the next play. So it was super funny. I think he might actually call it for us. But anyway, it worked out, and we had that last play, and I'll never forget that. Credit to Jake. I think he kind of set that all up, and he had the vision for that one. But it was cool to go out like that last play against Northwestern, especially to win like we did in that fashion.
Yes.
It was pretty
Yeah, and, I feel like that is so – I'll just say it this way. Like, your career was symbolic to me of this era of Illinois football. So when you guys got there, I'm not trying to trash anyone, but when you guys got there in 2017, there's a reason 22 freshmen played in 2017. There's a reason that the freshmen were the most talented players on that roster. There was a lot of stuff that went down with Beckman. You know, Cubitt was recruiting as an interim coach. It's hard to recruit when you don't know who the coach is going to be. Players had left. You know, seven guys decommitted out of that class, that the 2016 class, just because, like, nobody knew what was happening, who's going to be the coach, everything else. So the program was at this low point, and that's why first game of 2017, 16 freshman play ended up being 22 that year, because – you guys were the talent on the team, and Bobby was the best defensive end, and you were the top running back, and, you know, it just went down the line that Nate and Tony were going to be the top corners, and, you know, it just happened that way. So, you know, then there was that build, and then Lovey's gone, and Bielma comes here, and, you know, we had lost to Northwestern every one of those years from 17 to 20. And so for it to end with this, you and Jake on the field, two guys, you know, one who had committed to Cubitt, one who had committed to Beckman, on right. the field for this moment where the team goes 5-7, wins four Big Ten games. There's hope for the future. There's, you know, you guys just kind of span this thing. So that moment was so symbolic to me because of that, because you guys were here. You were doing the heavy lifting to get from A to B. You were in there starting as a true freshman at running back. You know, Jake's in there. Well, would have done the same, but he got injured. He would have been starting in 2017. So, you know, and he even got here in 2016 and played a little bit. So, you know, it was just a really symbolic moment. You guys fought injuries, everything else. You know, I just want you to know that the fan base saw it like that. That
I appreciate that. Yeah, the fan, and I want to say the most incredible. I mean, just like the community and the fans on social media, just it's like I said, it's truly inspiring, the loyalty, and I'm so excited for them because I just feel like the future is going to be the best part, and like the amount of games that we're going to win in the future, Coach B and everyone in charge right now, and Whitman, I mean, he has incredible vision and he's willing to do whatever it is to win. So I'm very, very confident in them, and I'm super excited for the fans because they deserve it, and they are pretty.
I also wanted to note, and I'll just say this in closing, that, like, it's been a fun journey with you in that. So you reached out to me in 2014. You had highlights you wanted to get out there. You found whoever was covering Illinois, and you just sent the highlight video via DM. So yeah. I've always said this to people. I usually don't. In fact, you're the only recruit I've ever interacted with before signing day. mostly because, like you said, and then I asked you for a quote when Beckman was fired, and then I asked you for a quote when Cubitt was fired and Lovey was hired to put in my article. So you have this one spot that you and I start interacting in 2014. It's now 2015, sorry.
Yeah, 2015.
2015, and it's now 2022. You know, that's it's a crazy long journey, but it's been fun, man. I mean, my heart breaks for every injury you had to deal with, and you know, I feel the same towards you as I did toward Mikey, that it's just so not fair that your body wouldn't let you do what you wanted to do. But, you know, if I can speak on behalf of the fan base, just thank you for sticking it out. You know, thank you for that journey that led to that kneel down moment, because there was a lot of fun in there. So, you know, it means a lot to the fan base as well that you stuck it out.
It means a lot to me, man. I appreciate it. And like I said, over 10, you're a day one dude, like you said 7 years ago, I think, when you started communicating. So, I mean, the journey it's been a wild ride, man, wild journey. But you've been there every step of the way, and I'll be around. You know, like, this place is always going to be super special. So I'll be up there, and I'll always be following. And I'm excited about that. And
it's got to be crazy to be like, you know, just to look back that you, as you said, cornfields. You pick this school in the middle. This South Florida kid picks this school when he's, gosh, you were 15 years old at the time or whatever, you know?
16, I think.
Yeah, so, you know, and then that kind of sets a course for so much of your life. But, you know, it was supposed to happen, and it did, and I'm glad. So, you know, thanks for joining me. Thanks for everything you've done for the program, and good luck to you and whatever's next.
Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it. And, yeah, thank you for everything.